Joining us on the WBGO Journal is WBGO's Bob Henley, who's also a staff reporter for the Chief Leader. He covers transportation and emergency services for that publication. And Bob, it's good to talk to you again. I know that you've been closely following the front lines, the people who are essential workers, the first aid, the firemen, the police department. Since we talked to you last, what have you learned about how they're dealing with this crisis?
Well, first and foremost, this disease has been particularly hard-hitting for the first responders, the individuals that don't have the option of working remotely at home. And as a consequence of that, we're seeing that they are under tremendous pressure because the numbers of individuals to respond to calls is down, although we're seeing some improvement now. And the death toll has been enormously high. By some estimates, well over 130 members of New York City civil service alone have perished in this pandemic. And as you would expect, the folks who were involved with the clinical settings for COVID patients, those would be your EMTs, people that are responsible for handling the corpses in the homes. These are the folks that are bearing the burden of this terrible pandemic.
Before we started the interview, you told me that, yes, the first responders are getting love from public officials, but not all their stories are getting out.
From the very beginning of this, back on April 6th, the chief leader was the first to report out the reality that EMTs, FDNY EMTs, were seeing this real spike in cardiac arrests in people's homes. And just to give you a sense, the fire department gave us a chart that showed what had happened in 2019 from April 5th back several days. And what we saw back last year was that anywhere between 20 to 30 fatal cardiacs would happen each day. In the period of time we're talking about that the EMT unions had flagged, we were seeing between 200, as high as 250, 260 fatal heart attacks a day. And so while these were happening in people's homes, they weren't the focal point of the important effort that Governor Cuomo and Governor Murphy were focused on, which was managing the hospitals. And so as a consequence, the scale and scope of this pandemic is largely being unrealized in terms of the way it's being reported. Thanks to reporting by the chief and other outlets, the mayor of New York did begin to try to go back and include some of this data. But to this point right now, this aspect of what's happening in homes is not widely understood. And so the EMTs and other unions who are in the front lines of having to deal with this, like the Detectives Endowment Association, their members have to go in and document these tragic scenes and take a photograph of a lost loved one just to document the process. The morgue techs that have to handle the corpses, they've been raising concerns that in this panicked response to the pandemic, we've lost the thread of basic public health and occupational science, which is to test the corpses, because this would be an important basic building block for contact tracing. But in the current climate where there's so few tests for the living, the idea of raising this is just dismissed by officials and no one even talks about it, despite the fact we reported it in the chief over 2 weeks ago, and it's based on just a textbook understanding of public health and occupational health.
You've touched upon in past reports on the WBGO Journal about the underlying conditions of those who responded to 9/11 and how they are being affected by this. What have you learned?
Well, one of the things that we knew going into this is that, just to give people a sense of the scope and scale of this, about as many people, perhaps more at this point, have died from 9/11 occupational exposures than actually perished on that day when the towers collapsed. And so it's important to understand that the brunt of all this was borne primarily by, although it was certainly experienced in the broader community, by civil servants that responded because they were acting on the guarantee from our former governor, New Jersey, Governor Whitman, who was the administrator of the EPA, that the air was safe to breathe. And so we now have roughly about 50,000 individuals participating in the World Trade Center Health Program, which deals with people that have a myriad of complex of different diseases and preconditions such as everything from one of dozens of different cancers to all kinds of respiratory issues. And so these individuals would now sadly be most vulnerable to COVID because of how this this virulent disease attacks the respiratory system. And so we're seeing a number of them pass as a consequence. And they're all, also the program itself, which is a world-class program, has had to go to telemedicine so that the doctors and clinicians that have done such a good job in helping so many of these people live productive lives, now they've had to do it through a video porthole, which is its own challenge. So this is a big problem here because a lot of these folks are still in the civil service because the doctors and these families were able to get these loved ones back into productive work. But now they face this other challenge that they are indeed at an elevated risk from continuing to work their jobs.
We're speaking with WBGO reporter Bob Henley, who also works for the chief leader. Bob, when it comes to the police and fire departments, we've heard about a lot of people having to call out sick. How is this impacting the city in general?
Well, we have seen just a bend in that curve. So while we looked at one point with the NYPD, the daily roster was some 20%, close to 20% caught up in some issue, either directly dealing with it, having COVID, or having some form of exposure. We're seeing that come down a bit, but it is something where we're seeing in many of these positions, particularly in FD1 EMT, they were already short going in. So when you take out that big a chunk of double-digit percentage that aren't able to report for active duty, that puts a burden on the other members who then are forced into what amounts to mandatory overtime, which is a period of time. Occupational science tells us this. The more overtime you work in these high-stress occupations, the lower your resistance and the greater likelihood that you'll be injured on the job. So that's the kind of universe they're in. In the case of the FDNY EMTs, through a FEMA program, they've actually had to bring in 250 additional ambulances from outside of the New York region, all over the country, to fill in this void. Now, there is some good news in the sense that this residential dashboard we were talking about in terms of emergency medical calls and cardiacs, that indeed also seems to be backing off, although it's still at relatively high volume compared to a normal pre-COVID environment.
Bob Henley, thanks for joining us on the WBGO Journal.